welcome to part one of a series entitled Legacy. I think it's going to be an exciting ride for the next 4 weeks. This is actually a five-week month. We'll be telling you something exciting that's going to begin or happen on that fifth Sunday of the month. Actually, some of you probably already kind of have an idea. It's our Fellowship 5 time that we have to get together in fellowship. But also, it's a day where we have an encounter service. We share communion. We just sung about that in a song this morning about communion, and we're going to be enjoying that together as a church the last Sunday of this month. But for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be going through a series that we've entitled Legacy. And I believe this is going to be a series that has honestly the potential of changing our lives and also changing and revolutionizing our church. If you will buy into this, if you will have an open heart to receive and let God just sort of reorient and change your way of thinking about life, I think it could really have the potential because it's very biblical, and God's word has the power, don't you know, to change lives and set people free. And so just want to jump right into this. And before I do so, I got to say again, I just appreciate the worship team. Didn't they do a great job this morning? And didn't he do a great job this morning? Isn't God great? And he is faithful. Let me just say this. I was going to say this earlier, but I'm just going to say it right here. I shared this with the huddle, our Dream Team huddle this morning. But just want to say what a great job you guys did in welcoming our community. Again, it was a community event, but we were hosting it here at Cross Point, a picnic we had last Sunday here. Just a lot of great comments about our church and just the love that people feel. That they see it's genuine and authentic, and I really think it's having a very positive impact on our community. And one particular individual trying to get a handle on kind of the way this all felt made this statement, and I take it as a high compliment. And this individual said, you know, this doesn't feel like a church. This feels like a welcome center. And I don't know if you get that, but that is a huge compliment because sometimes church can be very religious. This is what I heard. It's very can be very religious, cold, and stale. But instead, it was very welcoming, warm, and inviting. And can I tell you, that is the personality of Jesus. So I just want to say good job. And thank God for you allowing his light to shine through you and make a difference in our community. So I just want to say, come on, give yourself a hand clap for... for just being God's vessel, and we give God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. I've had a thing that has been, just keeps repeating in my spirit, and I feel like it's God speaking to me, and what I keep hearing him saying is, I'm building my church. I'll be in different scenarios, different settings, things happening throughout my day and throughout even our church activities, and I keep hearing this voice, I am building my church. And I don't know about you, but I believe God's word is true, and I believe that that Jesus, when he said himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe what he said. I believe God gives increase. I believe it's God's will that his kingdom grow and increase, and I believe God is doing that. I just honestly believe we're in the middle of a revolution. Now, that may sound a little radical to you, but I truly believe that God is structuring and setting up things in such a way that this church is going to be a church that's not just another church that's just another church. And I'm not putting down any churches, but I'm just saying I believe God has called us to do something specifically unique for him to make a difference in our community, in our campus, come on, in our city, in our country, and in our world. And I'm really excited about what God is doing. There's confirmations all around and also in my spirit that God is just doing something very unique. And my goal, my hope is that as a church, that we will communicate what I just described, and that is the personality of Jesus. You see, when somebody says the church is it feels like a welcome center, that to me says that is Jesus, because Jesus is a welcoming person. The only people that had a problem with Jesus was the religious crowd that didn't do it. He didn't do things their way. But to the sinner and those in need and those that were hurting and in pain, let me tell you, they sensed the love and the acceptance of Jesus and the mercy and the kindness of Jesus, and they were and there was a difference made. And so I just believe that as a church, we should have that same personality of Jesus. In fact, I don't think a church should necessarily be built around the personality of a pastor. Now, I get it. I understand the pastor is the leader. He's the shepherd, but he's the under-shepherd. And I believe that the real personality that the church should be shaped around is the personality of Jesus Christ. Can I get a good amen right there? Because I have seen churches that have been very much, to an extreme, built around a personality. And guess what? When that personality leaves the room, when they leave the church, that church oftentimes, I've seen it where the church crumbles and collapses because it was built upon the wrong foundation. It was built around a personality of a man instead of around the living God. In fact, that's why we're structuring things the way we're structuring things, because we believe that we're structuring things biblically around the foundation that, listen, our goal as a church is to know God, right? To know God and to make him known. To know that people, our goal and our hope is that people will know God, that people will find freedom, that people will discover purpose, and that they'll make a difference and their life be fulfilled in doing that. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have life to the abundance. And that's how that happens. And so as a church, our hope is that we're building this thing on the right foundation. And as we build this church, I believe it's going to have an impact in our community, as I said, but it's also going to have an impact to the next generation. It's going to have an impact for those that follow us when we pass the baton to the next generation. They'll be able to carry that forth and be able to continue on what God has called us all to do. And so this message is centered around this idea of leaving a legacy. And I really believe that it is the highest need of being fulfilled in the human heart, and that is to leave a legacy. In fact, it's the pinnacle of life. And the Bible, throughout the entire Bible, talks about this, and that we can make a difference and that we can impact another generation. In Psalm 112, you can take your notes out there, your worship guide if you like, and we'll also have it up here on the screen for you, and you can take some notes as we go along. But let's just get right into this. Psalm 112 says, a righteous man will be remembered forever. And that word righteous doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it really simply means a man that is headed in the right direction. And it's because you have a right God that took all the wrong things in your life and made them right. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. And so because Jesus is living on the inside, we're on the right path now. And it says that this person will be remembered forever. So the next generation will say, boy, that person really was an inspiration to me. That person really made a difference in my life, and I really received from that person. And the goal of this is not for fame or notoriety or personal ambition or for our glory. We live for the glory and honor of the one who we serve. Amen, everybody? And so Ephesians 4 says this in verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So I'm going to do that today. I want to urge you, urge us all, that we live a life that's worthy, because we are all called. We are not here just to suck air, put out fires, watch other people fulfill their destiny. We are here, listen, to live our life for God in such a way that we walk worthy of the calling. So our hope is that we align ourselves through this series, and that we hone in and sharpen and arrange our life, and so that we are not just a good recipient of God's blessings, but that we affect the next generation, because it'll affect the next generation. And we do that for the next generation, and yes, for God. But when we do this, it also helps us. And it answers all the questions, really, of life when we do this. And so I want to give you something that's really, really, I think, hopefully eye-opening for you. Back in 1943, there was a man by the name of Abraham Maslow. Some of you may have heard this name in your psychology 101 in school, in college. But he came up with a theory of human motivation, why we do what we do and why we act the way that we act and what we inherently are striving for in our lives. And he began with five basic needs. He actually drew it up in a pinnacle. You can pull it up, you can Google it, but it's a little pinnacle thing of a drawing of these five things. It's in a pinnacle type diagram where you do one and then you move to the next, and you're kind of climbing this thing to the top. And over time, these five have actually developed into eight things. And I just want to share this with you. First of all, there is number one, and you could write this down, it's our physical needs. We have physical needs, and so we all need air. We all need to breathe. We need to eat. We need to sleep. We need food. We need shelter. We need clothes. We need warmth. And in his studies, he discovered that there was 85% of Americans, and this is statistic I'm sure is not true all over the world, but here in America, 85% of Americans have their physical needs met. Secondly, there's safety needs. So we all need security. We need order. We need laws and limits and stability. And his findings was that 75% of us have these needs met in America. Number three, there are love needs. We all have a need to be loved, to belong. He called it belonging also. Belonging. We want to love. We need to be loved. That's why we join a club. That's why we join a fraternity or a sorority or a small group. We have social needs. That's why Twitter is big. That's why we have Facebook. And that's, you know, there's a need to be needed and to be known. 50%, it said, of Americans have this need fulfilled in their life. Isn't that something? Only half of us really feel like our love needs are met. And then four, there are esteem needs. Esteem needs. And so that means there's this need to be recognized, to achieve. We like to be complimented. You know, your hair looks nice today. You know, your clothes look nice. We just love that feedback. And so there's this need to be, there's self-esteem, that what we think of ourselves, that's important. And what others think of us is important. And let me just say there, we know that what others think of us is important, but I think this might be for somebody, and that is that people that matter don't judge, and people that judge don't matter. So be careful when you give people power over your life of what they think of you. I'm going to repeat that again. You might want to write that down. People that matter don't judge, and people that judge don't matter. Is that good? That's good, isn't it? All right, I thought that was good. And it's like, you know, we all, this esteem need, that's why we look in the mirror in the morning. We want to see how we look. And it's interesting because, you know, women and men look in the mirror entirely differently. Women look in the mirror and they see all the things that need to change, things that I need to do this, I need to correct this. Men, you could be fat and ugly and look in the mirror and say, yeah, man, you the man, you got it going on. Yeah, I mean, we just kind of all see the mirror. Mirror speaks different things to different ones of us, right? But really, we all have this need. And these, listen to this, these four that I just listed are categorized. You can put a bracket around these if you like and write this out beside those. And that is that these four are the deficiency needs. And so these are the ones that we are deficiency needs. So too many of us actually are stuck in these four, and we miss the best because the next four are where we really want to get to, where real true life begins to take on great meaning. And we know this, about these four needs, and that is that God, our God, supplies all of our needs. Amen, everybody? God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And so we know that it comes through relationship with Jesus. Jesus is really the lone answer. He is, it's being in a right relationship with him that these needs are met. But I want us to look at the next four, and that is, the next four is categorized as the growth needs, okay? So you have the deficiency needs, and then you have the growth needs. So number five are cognitive needs, cognitive needs. So that's our appetite to understand. It's why we seek after knowledge. It's why we read books. It's why we enjoy watching documentaries on TV. It's why we watch Duck Dynasty. Thought I could fit that in, didn't you? Okay. It's why we watch the Discovery Channel. All right. It's why we enjoy looking at how it's made, or we look at planet Earth, and anybody seen that show about the planet Earth? And we find that fascinating. We have these cognitive needs. And then there's number six, there's the aesthetic needs. Aesthetic needs. And this is the need for appreciation of beauty. That's why we enjoy nature. It's why we enjoy going to the beach and watching the sunset. That's why Instagram is so big. You know, that's why we decorate the walls and mow our lawns and put flowers in front of buildings. And there's really a spiritual aspect of this. There's a beauty and appreciation of life. Can I tell you something? You see, the enemy wants you stuck in the first four. But God wants you blessed. The enemy wants you to be lacking, but God wants you to live an abundant life. And so we got to get past just getting stuck in those four and move to this place of understanding and appreciating life and the beauty of life. And then number seven is our self-actualization need. Sounds like a big psychological term there, doesn't it? Self-actualization needs. And it simply is when you come to a place where you realize why you were made. It's where you begin to understand your potential and discovery. That discovery is fulfilling to you. And so it's why we strive to be the best. It's why we don't want to settle for second place. It's why we love our sports teams, okay? And so in the studies, though, it's understood that in America that it's estimated that only, listen to this, only 2% have met this need in their life. Only 2%. Isn't that amazing? That they don't know their potential, and they don't know why they're on this planet. And I believe, I contend, that the reason for that is that they leave God out, because God's the only one. He's written the book on your life, okay? He's the only one that has a book on your life that understands why you were made. And when we aren't connected to Him, we aren't connected to our purpose, and we don't understand why we are here. And so I think that is a tragedy. Now, you think that's bad enough. Listen to this. It's estimated that 0.1%, that's one-tenth of 1% of college students have ever gotten here. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. We're going through, we're just doing what we're doing, but we really don't understand why. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And can I tell you that you're in the right place, okay? If that's you and you're saying, well, I really don't know why we're here, because we're designing everything around you, helping you understand and fulfill this need in your life of self-actualization, where you understand who you are and why you exist, you are in the right place. That's why we have the growth track. I'm just going to pause right here. Yes, it's a commercial time, growth track. And guess what? Growth track is just, it's not just a silly something we do and you keep hearing the same thing every week. There's a reason for the growth track. And that's so that we can help you discover how God has made you and how you have been called and how God has a specific gift that He's given you and see that fulfilled in your life. Today will be a great day to start. We got Church 101 today, and that's where the wheel starts turning on the first Sunday. And the second Sunday, we get into the essentials of how to walk this thing out. The third Sunday is where it really gets good, and that's when we talk about how God has gifted you. We do a spiritual assessment test, and we go through that. I encourage you to get into the growth track. It'll make a difference in your life. It happens right after service today. And there's a meal involved. They only take about an hour or so, and you can be on your way, and you got to eat somewhere. I encourage you, get on the growth track, because it will make a difference in your life. Now, listen to this. Maslow stopped here, but psychologists discovered yet another level, and this is the one that really will blow your socks off, okay? And it's the transcendence needs. Now, I don't know if you understand what transcendence is. Let's just break this down. If this is the ultimate level, and it's the greatest need, is where it is that you are able to look beyond yourself. In other words, you use number seven, understanding why you're here, that self-actualization, and now you put that into practice, and you've discovered about yourself, and now you make a difference in the lives of others. And it's the ultimate, and it's showing compassion, it's caring for others, it's sympathy, it's looking beyond your own needs and helping some other person. And it's not done out of obligation, but it ultimately fills you with meaning. And as a pastor, my job is to lead you to greener pastures, right? And my job is to call you to go through these levels of grace by God's grace, and then to come to this ultimate goal of living a life of transcendence, of making a difference, And that's where, and I've seen people in their growth and where they are, and myself included. And I want to tell you, when you get to the place where it's not about you, but about other people, guess what? You begin to grow, and you begin to become more happy and more fulfilled and more satisfied in life when you understand it's about others. And this word transcendence, let me just give you a definition for this. It's just right out of Webster's dictionary. First of all, it means this. It's an exceeding usual limits, surpassing. And it's beyond what we can do of ourselves. It's beyond that. And look at this. It's extending or lying beyond the limits of ordinary experience. In other words, you get here, listen, you're not just going to live in the normal, mundane, natural, but it's actually moving into the supernatural. It's beyond your limits. It's beyond what you can do. It's where God is now using you to fulfill his purpose for another person, but he's doing that through you, and it's being fulfilled through you. I mean, it's beyond what you can do. It's supernatural. And then it's beyond comprehension. I love that. Beyond comprehension. In other words, it's where God uses you in such a way that you back up and say, that just blows my mind that God would use me in that way. I had no idea that God was going to do that. Sometimes you're almost like an innocent bystander. Karen was alluding to it this morning in our dream team huddle, that when God does something through it, it's like, I think you used the word, blows my mind. You know, it's like God just does something and you didn't think much about it, but it made a huge difference in that other person. And that's where God used you to impact that other life, right? Anybody getting this? So look at this. This is really what Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Look at this with me. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, it's beyond your mind, it blows your mind, according to the power that works in us. And I love this. As we read on, it says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God's doing something in us. He's doing something through us. And we give him all the glory forever and ever. Can I get a good amen right there? Come on, everybody. Amen. And so you say, wow, you come to this place and say, wow, you're an awesome God. Thank you for using me. And now in the first four, I want you to understand, if you're in that first four category, we care about you. We care about your needs, all right? So don't want you to think we're neglecting those and thinking those aren't important, but we don't want you to be stuck there. We want to move beyond that where you can experience life, right? As a church, I know this is real practical. For some of you, this is like, oh, I thought you were going to preach the Bible. This is psychology 101. Let me tell you, this is the Bible 101, okay? This is where real life happens, all right, where we make a difference. That's why we're here. We're not here to just have a holy huddle and go home. We're here to come in and to make a difference in the world, get and receive from God and then make a difference in the world that God has called us to impact. Our name, we are Crosspoint. We are Crosspoint. Our goal is to point people to the cross. And when you come to the cross, you're going to come to a cross point in your life. It's going to make a difference. But what's going to happen, you're going to come to that cross point, and you're going to cross over. And when you cross over, guess what your job then is? You crossed over from death to life, and now your job is to make a difference in the life of someone else and to point somebody else to the cross where their life can be. Are you following this? That's what really we are all about, right? And so we're called to make a difference and point people to the power of the cross. And then not only to point people to the power of the cross, but to point people to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So it's not just about being forgiven, but it's then about understanding and getting freed up and finding your purpose and making a difference in the world. Is this good, everybody? I am preaching 90% better than y'all. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you right now. All right. Because, listen, the Bible tells us it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us and quickens, the Bible says, makes alive, come on, shakes us up and says, get moving and do something for the kingdom and the glory of God. And I just think that's awesome. And so he's called us to make a difference, an eternal difference in the lives of others. And listen, we're not living life impressed or depressed over the past and what happened to us yesterday, but we are moving forward with what God's called us to do, because that's what this series is about. It's about, look, we may have started well, but we want to finish well. We want to leave a legacy. We want to make a difference. So we're not in a church, and if you're looking for churches to come in and feel good and have something wonderful to meditate on, and I'll see you next week, this is not that church. We want to be a church that makes a difference in the world. We want to make a difference where our church is impacting our community and our surroundings around us. Can I get a good amen right there? All right. Thank you. I mean, I had the opportunity to go over to UNC Charlotte yesterday and meet the band director and just say that because they got a new marching band. I know. I'm a band geek. Get over it. All right. Okay. And I just went over there and I met the drum major and I was sharing with them and I told the drum major, I said, if you ever decide to put in the mace, y'all know what a mace is? Some of y'all may call it baton. I call it mace. Okay. Baton sounds like a majorette. Mace sounds like a drum major. Okay. And I told him, I said, if you need some help if you decide to implement that, I would be glad to help you with some mace techniques. And he said, well, actually our band director is considering that. I said, really? Anyway, and you say, well, you just want to teach them some mace techniques? No, I want to build some relationships, and I want to make some difference in some people's lives. And come on, that's what we're all about. And this is going to probably scare some of you. I told the band director, I said, on a rainy day, they got about 150 in their band. I said, on a rainy day, if y'all don't have anywhere to practice because the band building they built is not big enough to house the whole band to do a rehearsal, I said, you're welcome to come across the street. If they allow you to come across the Great Wall of 49, you can come over here and we'll just, you know, just come on in. I know the laborers are going to love it, you know. But I'm just saying, I want to make a difference. I want us to open our doors and open our hearts and impact the community. Come on, impact some lives around make a difference for eternity. And so we ought to be meticulous about it. We ought to be intentional about it. We ought to think about it, pray about it, talk about it, celebrate it, and make a difference in Jesus' name. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. Right? So I'm not disrespecting those here that may be living in a place where they're hurting and confused and miserable at times. Guess what? I'm in those first four with you, all right? We all are at times, and that's real. But we know that Philippians chapter 4 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, right? According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So God's going to supply all of our needs, but he wants to touch us. He wants to change us. But he doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to use every one of us to make a difference. And if we could all get that and get a hold of that, all of us are called to make a difference. I got three quick points that I want to share with you that I believe will help us step in the right direction regarding all this. Number one, love God passionately. Love God passionately. So you say, I want to leave a legacy and I want to make a difference. Can I tell you something? You cannot do it by yourself. Because the only one who has the potential of your life in his hands is God. You cannot do it apart from him. If you don't find him, you can't find your potential. You can't find the reason for your life. The Apostle Paul actually used this argument as a way to win people. He was talking to them and said, there's a reason why you don't have the answers to the meaning of life. In fact, they were worshiping all these gods. One of the gods that they worshiped was was called the unknown God. And so he began to speak to them and tell them of a God who had created them, a God who made them with a purpose. Look at Acts. We'll jump into the middle of this conversation. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. And he says, from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places that they should live. Thank you. God did this so that men would seek him. Why did he do this? So let's pause right there. So God has us here for a reason. God said in 2015, he's going to have you sitting right here today in the job that you're at the school that you're at, doing what you're doing. It wasn't by accident. Karen, you alluded to that again this morning. So much you said, I was like, yeah, she's on the message today. Listen, there's a reason why we're here. We're not here by accident. God has put us here. If I hadn't done this or that, I'd be over. No, God, I'm telling you, he orchestrates and directs our life in spite of us, okay? And he's directing our life, and he has an order to it. And despite what the enemy sent for evil, God works it out for good. He's moving your life. He's arranging things. He knew ahead of time what you're going to face, and he situates things and situates you and puts you in such a place at such a time. Why does he do all this? Well, glad you asked. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, that they would say, where is God? Where? And they would look for him and find him. though, and then he reveals to him, though he is not far from each one of us. And he goes on to say, for in him we live and move and have our being. He's the reason. When we find him, we find out why we're here, why we're breathing, why we're doing all this. It's in him that all of this makes sense. And so even Colossians bears this out. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, in the Message, it reads it this way. Reads this way. For everything, absolutely everything, everything, and let me just make it clear, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got its start in him and finds its purpose in him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. For we, I love this one, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God's called us with a purpose, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He knew ahead of time. He knew before you were created what he was going to create you to be. Amen? And the work that he has called you to do. So every one of us have a call and a purpose. And so we need to realize that. You say, well, I'm in the first four. I'm still trying to work through the first four, and I got these huge problems in my life. Can I tell you something? When you find your purpose in life, it's going to bring your problems down to size until those problems are nothing but just a distraction along the way when you have something bigger than your problems. But if your problems are the biggest thing in your life, then they're huge. But you need to find something bigger than your problems, and that is finding your purpose and living that out for God. When you get this revelation, it's going to make a huge difference in your life, and life will have meaning and purpose. Look at the second thing. So we love God. Secondly, serve others selflessly. Put another way, we're to live transcendent. And so the Bible actually encourages me as a pastor to encourage you in this way. Paul was speaking to Timothy, and Timothy was a pastor, and this was the instructions that came to Timothy as a pastor, and I'm going to take it as for me. He said this, he said, command them, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. So I command you, okay? You're commanded, right? And in this way, why, Pastor, do we need to do all this? Well, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So you're saying, okay, we're going to do this. Do we do this to make a difference in the life of another person? We do this to make a difference in the life of community. But look, he goes more than that. It goes into more than that. He says, it's going to make a difference in your own life so that you'll take hold of the life that is truly life. It's going to make a difference in your own life. Psalm 112 says this. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds are remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. They're leaving a legacy. When we do what God's called us to do, we leave a legacy. But let me just point this out. That is that not every kind deed counts. Not every kind deed counts. Only kind deeds done for eternity counts. Because listen, let me put it to you this way. If you feed a belly but you don't share the gospel, guess what? Full bellies go to hell just like empty bellies go to hell. Is that blunt enough? I mean, always connect the good deed with good news. Listen to this. We hear a lot in our day about social justice. Social justice without spiritual justice is not justice. And also, spiritual justice without social justice is not justice. But we combine both and we take care of people's needs and we tell them about Jesus. We tell them about a God that can heal their bodies, a God that can save their souls, a God that can set them free of their addictions and their habits and their lifestyles and free them from the bondage of the past. We help people, but in doing so, we share the good news. In fact, last week, it just hit me out of the blue. We were offering food, groceries, non-perishable items for the community to take and give to their neighbors. The neighbors came for a picnic, and we used them to distribute some kindness to the community. And so we had these bags bagged up, and all of a sudden I realized something is missing. And so we've got these little acts of kindness cards that says something extra to show you that God loves you. And so I y'all didn't know I did this, but I grabbed a bunch of acts of kindness cards, and I went around and said, boop, 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 boop. I just started putting in all the bags because it's one thing to receive food. I want them to know who food comes from, amen? We want them to know that God loves them. We want to connect them to a God that loves them and cares about them and make a true difference in their lives, right? So that's what we're doing, all right? Look at this, would you? John chapter 6, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. That's what Jesus said, okay? So it's not just about taking care of needs, but it's about getting them beyond the four, those first four, into those other four, right? Where God can reveal who he is to them and understand what life is really all about and have a relationship with him. Mark chapter 8 says this, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. We try to hoard everything ourselves, become a hoarder, do it all, you know, right? All about me. We lose what the meaning of life is. But when we begin to give away, when we begin to bless others, I'll tell you, then our life begins to make difference and we find out who we really are in him. Look at point number three, and that is live life intentionally. Live life intentionally. This verse in chapter 13 of Acts says this, that when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He went to heaven. After he had served his purpose, that's what we're all called to do. We are alive today and we're here to serve a purpose, and that one day we're going to go to heaven and we're going to leave a legacy for the next generation if the Lord tarry. He could come back today. This could be the last generation before he comes. It could be. I believe it possibly, very possibly could be. But that is in God's hands. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know this. God has given us today. And he's given us today to make a difference. In fact, the theme this morning in prayer time with everyone was today, 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 today. Today we need to make a difference. Today we need to leave a legacy. Today we need to impact another life. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Amen? Today is a day when everything can change when we come to him. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today we need to make a difference and do what God has called us to do. My hope, my prayer is that as God is building this church, revolutionizing this church, and I know you may not see it in the natural, but I pray that God give us supernatural eyes and understanding to see what he is doing, what he's desiring to do. I mean, I was worshiping this morning, and I got just so involved in worship and just focused on him, and I heard him again saying, I'm building my church. I was almost tempted to just turn around because in my spirit I could almost see this place full and packed, people standing, you know? I don't know if you see that or not. I pray that God, person by person, brick by brick, we're lively stones. That's part four. We'll get to that. God's building his church. And there's going to be a story written here. Somebody's going to say, let me tell you about a church that God really used to make a difference. Let me tell you about a church that didn't want any of the glory but wanted to make a difference for eternity's sake, and God used them to impact the lives of others, and many people came to Christ and their lives were changed. I believe God's writing that story here today. Anybody ready to give him a clean slate? And it may be that for you personally, you say, but Pastor, I'm still in that first four. I got needs of my own. Let me tell you something. It all begins by acknowledging him and surrendering your life to him and connecting to him. That's where it all starts. Everything from the beginning of this list to the end is that you need to connect with a living God. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. I'd like you just to bow your heads for just a moment. I'd just like to pray for you today. If you've got a need in your life, I mean, none of this can happen unless your basic needs are met. And your basic needs are not met without God. It all begins and ends with him. And so if you know whether you're connected to him and he knows you. You know if you're in a vibrant, personal, real relationship with him. And today, if you're not sure if you're in that right relationship with him, I want to connect you to a God who has the book on your life, who can give meaning to your life. And I just want to help lead you in a prayer of simply giving God control of your life. And you may have never prayed this before, or you may have prayed this prayer, but you've walked away and you're ready to come back, and you know that you need to surrender to Him today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that by simply allowing me to lead you in a prayer. I'd like to know who I'm leading in this prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. In a moment, we're going to pray as we receive the offer. We're going to pray for needs. If you've got needs in your life, we'd love to be honored. I've got a team that I've already put in place today that's going to be here up front that wants to just stand here and just help pray with you over those needs. But right now, this is a private moment between you and God. And so I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but right where you're seated, if that's you, I'd like to know who I'm connecting with. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you, when you pray, Pastor, would you include me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand? Just have the courage to slip up a hand. God bless you today. Yes. Proud of you today. Anyone else? God bless you today. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand and put it right back down. All right. If you need to pray this prayer, would you just right there in your heart, just breathe this prayer to the Lord right where you are. I'm just going to help you with the words, but just pray and let it be your prayer today. Just simply pray this. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. I've gone my own way, done my own thing. Today I repent and give you my life. You know where I've been, where I am, and where I'm going. But today, I want you to take full control of my life. Be my master. Be my Lord. Come live inside of me. Change me. Make me brand new. With all of my heart, I'm going to serve you with everything I have. Today, I give you my life. Come on, say that. I give you my life.